Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show. Hey there, check this. There's a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is oncepodcast@gmail.com. Our blog web address is at aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Now, back to the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another experiment. I think most of our shows are experiments.
They are.
And this is another one. Yep. So we are live, and so what we're going to do is we're going to record our Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, our Feedback and More show. So I'm watching Twitter. If you're on Facebook listening, thank you, but I'm not watching Facebook. So I'm watching Twitter at the OUAT Podcast Twitter handle. So,
and also, they can also tweet me directly, which is SOWEETIE, so Weedy.
Yes.
So, because I'm checking that too as well.
So, yes, we have a number of people listening. I just saw Tyler say hey. So, hi, Tyler.
Hey.
And the Purple Lady 18, hello. And Helga's out there, hey. And Malini's out there. Natasha's out there. Looks like Mandy's out there. And Shannon's out there. And I think some friends of Natasha's as well. So,
excellent.
Hello. And possibly Ray Bailey 88's out there. And we're just happy to be here. Happy that you guys are joining us for the show. So,
yes. It's awesome.
Yeah. This is weird and different. I'm just glad it's not video. Yeah. So anyway, because it's another thing to worry about.
Yes, it is another thing to worry about.
So the big news today for us is the forum.
Mm-hmm.
The forum is now online and it's being filled up with fantastic theories, and folks are leaving their thoughts and interaction aplenty. And that's exactly what I wanted. And it's just fantastic. So that has been taking up most of my time, and I think it's finally at a point where I can just kind of let it go for a little bit. So
yeah,
I'm happy
great.
About that.
That's great.
But big love up to Canada. Boy, we got some Canadian people that love us and listen to the show, and we're so happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Christine retweeted us, and I know Natasha's listening and all the other Canadian folks. And I just want to send some love to Ken because he updated the Steveston/Storybrooke map again with some awesome. That's the most incredible thing. It is really neat to look at that map and then watch the show, because in the true north, we see the mysterious stranger pull up.
Oh, yeah.
And he's right in front of the Storybrooke hardware store. And it's so cool to look on the map and say, it's right there.
That's
I
awesome.
Know where that is on the map. And then also, I was watching it, and when Emma was going to take the Ava and Nicholas to Boston,
mm-hmm. Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
Initially, they were sitting in front of Sarah's ice cream parlor. And so I got a screen capture of that, and I included it in the map, and Ken included that as well. So we're really fortunate to have Ken helping us out, and it's just really... It is so great to have Christine and Ken there, and they can kind
right
of fill in little things
yeah.
and give us information, yeah. and it's just really fantastic.
That's awesome.
So, anyway, we're going to dive into our emails and different
we
things.
Are.
If we
We are.
What else are we?
Well, I was going to just share a little thing real quick.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I went shopping with my mom, my sister today for some stuff.
That's right.
And so one of the items that I got was a pair of knitting needles and some yarn. So I'm going to learn how to knit. I've been inspired by all the knitters we have that listen to the show, as well as Once Upon a Time. So I just thought I'd share that. And Helga was very, very instrumental in helping me figure out what I needed to get, where to start. And so I'm really excited about it. So thanks.
Well, it's really cool. And Obi's girl just checked in. And hello there.
Hey.
This is really neat. I got to tell you, it's just, it's really incredible. This whole ride has been a dream. And this is really neat that we have the opportunity to talk directly to you guys and just say, hey, and the responses. It's just really neat. So, yeah, I did not know. And I said it before, I'll say it again, that there were so many knitters out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so many that really enjoyed Once Upon a Time. And from what Helga was saying is that when, let's say a sci-fi fan, let's say a Star Wars fan, when they watch that, they look for ships and CG stuff and all this. But when a knitter, or I forget the term.
You know what? It's something to do with fiber, and I can't remember.
Fiber create or something like that. And but when they watch the show, they watch for the different things that are knitted.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
That they watch it for a different reason.
I think everybody does. I mean, if you're into, I don't know, trees, maybe you might be looking for something different than everybody else would be.
Right.
I don't know if anybody's into trees, but I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Okay. Some people are. hey, Mary from Storybrooke.
Hey.
How's it going there in Storybrooke? We know some people that live near you, Mary.
We do.
And some of them are bad. So be careful. Anyway, another thing I was thinking about as we were watching, I know this is a different show, but we were watching Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Alcatraz is filmed in the Vancouver area. And so I was kind of doing the same thing, is I wonder where that cemetery is and I wonder where that building is. And
well, the area in the forest where they take the prisoners once they finally catch them, that's very, very much like where they film most of the forest scenes for Once Upon a Time. So I'm sure it's probably pretty close to that.
Yeah, I imagine so. So, if
sorry. No, I'm done.
Okay.
That's all I have.
All right. So what we're going to do is we will do our best to kind of watch Twitter if there's any questions or anything like that. But it looks like everyone is just saying that they can hear us and they're enjoying, and that's fantastic. And Tyler mentioned that he heard a pop. There's some popping here.
Oh, you know what I think it is? I think it's anytime you get a message popped up on your computer, that's what it is.
That's right. And I'm not sure how to shut that off. I'm sorry. But yeah, there's a little pop when the comments come in.
That's the noise
so,
that it makes.
Sorry
right?
about that. This is the first time. I'm actually glad we made it live. For the first time, because normally the way these things work is, you know, we're talking for 10 minutes and I can't hear you. But it sounds like
no, it looks good.
We're going out there. So we're going to go in and we're going to start reading some emails. And there are some fantastic emails. But before we get to that, I want to say hey to Manny.
Oh, is Manny on?
Manny.
Too?
Noel, maybe. He'll probably hear this later.
Okay.
But Manny is a cool cat who leaves some great comments over there on the blog. And I just want to say hey to Manny, hey to David B. They're just great folks. Brenda Woods is on the forum too.
That's awesome.
And I don't see her here on Twitter, but I just wanted to say hey to her. And so many great people. And this is really a nice opportunity because you never really see everyone who's listening, but this is a really cool opportunity that for the people that are checking in.
So, can you minimize that little bubble thing? If you do that, maybe what's causing it, it's reminding you that it's there. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know if you can.
No, because that's part of the show.
Okay, then never mind.
So, okay, we're going to jump in and we're going to start reading some emails. We got a great email from Shannon. And Shannon mentioned that in the scene in True North where Snow and Emma were talking in the bedroom, mm-hmm. there was a flowered rose that was mounted on the wall on the left hand of the screen. And she said it looks like a rose, and she wondered if it may be the rose from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
I personally
vaguely remember that now.
There was two things that I did not catch, and I know some people don't like that, but I'm just being honest. And that was one of them, and there's something else that we'll get to. But
yeah.
It could be.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
But, I mean, that's another thing that's great about this is we're pointing things out that people see and notice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
And so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember seeing it and making a mental note of it, but I kind of vaguely remember, you know, in the back of my mind's eye seeing it there. So I think I know what you're talking about.
Yep. So the Purple Lady just asked on Twitter, what do you think about the new guy? Do you think he could possibly be the 7-year-old boy that found Emma as a baby? And that is a possibility.
We kind of threw that around a little bit, didn't we? Because there's so many possibilities of who this guy could be. And, you know, some of the theories are, you know.
One of the other emails had another interesting mm-hmm. theory. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, I threw my 2 cents on the table and said that I think it's going to be a love interest for Emma.
Right.
Someone who's really going to help her kind of experience love and pull down the wall and that kind of a thing.
But that is actually a really cool theory. And wouldn't that be kind of neat if he does end up being the 7-year-old boy that found her?
Yeah. And I've heard that a few places, and that's definitely
that was so random and weird that she would, you know, happen to be looking at the file and see that article, and they'd show that article. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he just appears out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Kind of an interesting little coincidence there.
And Louisa sent in an email. Hi, Louisa.
Hello.
She sent in an email, and she mentioned that there was a Grimm's Brothers fairy tale called Catherine and Frederick. I am not totally up on my Grimm Brothers fairy tales, and I was not aware.
No, I'm not familiar with that one, but let me tell you that there are like hundreds of fairy tales, and a lot of them from the Grimm Brothers, and many of them I've never even heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So, very cool.
So, it's called Catherine and Frederick, and she provides a link, and I'll put that in the show notes. Abigail's Midas's daughter, named in Storybrooke, is Catherine. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that Frederick was one of Midas's guards and also Abigail's secret love.
Oh.
That would explain why she's so mean to James, mm-hmm. since she lost her true love and is being forced to marry him. And we know that James married Snow, so maybe Abigail did a deal with Rumpelstiltskin to turn him back into a human, and he was able to marry him, leaving James free to marry Snow.
Hmm.
Definitely interesting.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much, Louisa. And that's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, I may check into that story because that sounds interesting.
Yeah, Obi's girl did hear. I just saw the message here pop up on the screen that Obi's girl did hear about the Catherine and Frederick fairy tale.
Right.
And Tumblr. Remember we talked about Tumblr. Mm-hmm. Tumblr's huge. It's like the big blogging sensation. And so mm-hmm. They trade information and share stuff all the time. So it's pretty cool.
Nice.
But yeah, Frederick and Catherine and Frederick. So thanks, Louisa. Appreciate that.
Awesome.
So the next one is from Karen in Maryland. And she was wondering if maybe there was a spell on Charming's ring and maybe it was cast by his mom, causing the first woman to wear it to be Charming's true love. And maybe this curse caused dire consequences to any subsequent women who put it on.
Hmm.
And the interesting thing is that's actually, remember I was talking about swords?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I did a lot of studying about swords, and swords, one of the things I was studying about is one of the stories is when the sword was created, it's created for a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the person it was created for used it, you know, maybe there was a hair in there or something, some kind of connection.
Right.
But if the sword was used by somebody else, not them, then bad things happen. I don't want to go into the bad things, but bad things happen. So this kind of ties in with what Karen's saying here.
That would kind of make sense, actually.
And it says, she says, continues, this could explain why Midas's daughter is out of the picture and why Snow White, Mary Margaret Blanchard, and David slash Charming are destined to be together. So,
yeah, you just never know.
And Trista's here. Hi, Trista. How you doing?
Hey.
Nice to see your message pop up. And as luck would have it, we do have an Obie's Girl email here. And she brings up a number of interesting points. And a little geeky, which I can appreciate, too. Mm-hmm. So, Marvel is now owned by Disney. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I did not know that.
So, the Fantastic Four. Now, I'm just telling you, I'm not up on my comic books.
No.
I do not know.
My familiarity extends only to the movies that are made about them.
Right.
Seriously.
But I'm pretty sure, and I'll probably find out in 2 seconds, if that Fantastic Four is a Marvel comic. I'm kind of certain it is.
Is it? Or is it DC? It's probably Marvel. It seems like it would be Marvel. I don't know.
So, anyway, but it was interesting that that was kind of focused on. And actually, someone mentioned that, or in an earlier episode, Henry was reading a comic book as well. So
right.
That's kind of...
I saw Hulk on the screen, but that was in the... I think I saw Hulk and something else. I can't remember what it was. Maybe... And it was the Fantastic Four.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Hulk and the Fantastic Four in the Mr. Clark store.
That's right. Yeah, Wolverine versus the Hulk and Kazam. Mm. It was the comic books are kind of like those old scary movies, mm-hmm. Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman. They had all those, superheroes and all that.
They did crossover episodes.
They did.
Nice.
So, and then we have Mr. Gold. She's wondering, about the whole blank card deal.
Oh yeah.
And if. Yes, we have confirmation. Thank you, Tyler. Fantastic Four, Hulk, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor are all Marvel comics, and they're now owned by Disney. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Batman is DC, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, let's not go.
Yeah, but I was thinking of what's DC. I was trying to think of what it was DC, but
remember
I'm pretty
Newfoundland.
Sure.
Just,
no. I'm pretty sure okay. Batman's DC.
And X-Men is also Marvel. Thank you so much, Tyler. And anyway, she was talking about Mr. Gold and the blank card, and... the question is, how does he know? How do we know that he keeps records of all these things? And I think we touched on it in the last show.
Did we?
Is that he doesn't really need records because he knows
pretty much knows just
a lot
everything.
Of different things. Who owns what? I mean, a guy who collects things and names.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we already know that.
Yeah.
So I mean, he was very Batman's DC. Yes. So, thanks, Obie's Girl.
I like when I get something right.
Right. So, but we know that Rumpelstiltskin collects things and
people
names.
And people.
And children.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, we know that. So, that's why.
Well, technically, he
thank
collects
you very much, Guinevere 8. Appreciate
it. Not just children.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Geppetto's parents.
Right.
Granted, they're puppets, but they're adults.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yes. Excellent. So this is going to blow your mind because I totally missed it.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Please don't review me on missing it. But anyway. So it says there's a scene where Hansel and Gretel woke up in the woods. Remember?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So. And in the far shot, remember that wide shot when they kind of pulled back a little bit, let's say?
Yeah.
That Obie's girl's boyfriend saw that there was a town.
Oh, really?
Over to the right in the top right corner.
Totally missed that.
Now, okay, I saw a picture and, it's there, but it's just kind of it's
I'm
not
sure
definitely
it's
standing out. There's like an arrow pointing, you know what I mean? Like, here is a big town. So, but
not a neon sign.
Here, okay, so her questions are they still in the fairy tale world? Is this Storybrooke before it was Storybrooke? In other words, this was a town in the fairy tale world that the evil queen turned into Storybrooke. If it's pre-Storybrooke and Hansel and Gretel were there, That would mean that they were the first fairy tale inhabitants to go there before the curse was enacted. That is fantastic. That is incredible to think about.
Wow. So, okay, I think they were in fairy tale world because they were still dressed the way they would be. They weren't, you know what I mean? I think that if they're dressed in their fairy tale character getups, then I think they're still in, that's how you know they're for sure in fairy tale world. Doesn't mean I'm right. I just think that's a possibility. But like you said, that is amazing because there, the whole area would have been dotted with little towns, and maybe that one specifically is Storybrooke.
Right.
Well, what became Storybrooke.
Right. So, but that's very, that's fascinating. I mean, if it was Storybrooke before the curse and they were there.
Would it have, yeah, well, see, that's the thing. We don't know the town's origins at this point in time. Right. When was it founded? When was it?
Well,
it, have you seen any date? You know how typically in the town seal it will say founded, you know, 1870 blah blah blah.
Oh, probably. But
see
but,
what I mean?
But there's so much CPU pointing going through this right now. I don't want to look it up. And yes, Obi's girl Brownie points to your boyfriend. He is awesome.
Oh yeah, totally.
So just tell him thank you from us, and he's got a good eye. Now, so let's talk about this. Now we did see the Rumpelstiltskin origin story. So that was the first.
That
let's
is
say,
the earliest
one.
Yeah, that's the earliest now, point.
So I'm saying that this picture that we see of Hansel and Gretel arriving wherever they are arriving, that the town, it was almost like back way in the olden days when it was being settled.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's trees all around. There wasn't roads. There wasn't other towns.
Right, dirt paths.
And so it was kind of like one town being settled and created. So it could possibly be Storybrooke way back in the day.
Could be, yeah.
You know, and then you could have something interesting like the clock tower for the first, you know what I'm saying? All this kind of thing. So, and I just wanted to say that Michelle mentioned on Twitter that she signed up for the forum and she's telling everybody about it. And I appreciate that so much. Thank you so much. Now, but anyway, I think that's a fascinating question and idea. So let's move on. Then she brought out the fact of the blind witch and Hansel and Gretel. And this has come up a number of times. And I think we kind of touched upon it. So the idea that seeing the blind witch burning in the oven, such a pleasant thought, isn't it? is not necessarily seeing the blind witch die.
True.
So,
true. Well, because we didn't see her burning. We just saw fire going into the oven itself.
Yes.
And I know that sounds crazy, but you know these people, these crazy writers.
Well, and she also mentioned, she also mentioned the mirror that the queen threw the fire through.
Yeah.
And I think in First Thoughts, we did kind of mention that the evil queen has this portal kind of a trick.
Yes.
When she was walking away from the, or she was in the room where Snow and Charming were getting married, and he threw the sword and it went through her. Then she could, she went back into her castle.
Yeah. She smoke monstered herself in the castle. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Perfect. But I guess what I'm saying is she could smoke monster, but that sword,
because it started to touch the smoke. Because she turned herself into smoke right as it hit. Do you know what I'm saying? And so maybe what happened was the smoke is the transportation mechanism. And so because she turned herself into smoke right as it came, because it didn't hurt her, she was able to move out of the way. And that kind of opened the portal. And that's what transported the sword into her castle.
Well, okay. So let's go with two of the things you mentioned. When you touch the smoke as she's going, then it takes that with her.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Yeah.
Or second, is the smoke, in a matter of speaking, opens up a portal that will allow something, maybe that's traveling, to go through it into where she is going.
I think the smoke is that it basically absorbs whoever it touches it or whatever into whatever or wherever it's going. Because remember when she, after Emma disappeared from the wardrobe, baby Emma, and she's sitting there and then, you know, Snow White says, "You're going to lose." She's like, "We're going someplace horrible." And then all of a sudden the smoke itself, it was all black smoke. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of destroyed the walls of the castle and basically ripped the roof right off.
Yes.
So all that stuff would have ended up in, because the smoke is what came down over the hills. That black smoke came, and that's right. That's what I'm saying is I think that all transported wherever the queen decided to put herself, which was Storybrooke, Maine. That's why it's okay. All there.
Now, the Hansel. Don't you think? What now?
Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, in a way, I think it's laying over like a cover, mm-hmm. which is one of the early things I think I thought of. I said, it's either, you know, a completely different place or it's a cover. It's like a mask over
it's a mask.
The town.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like layers. So, it's like layers to an onion. You peel it back and you're going to find Storybrooke or Fairy Tale World right underneath those layers.
Okay.
Literally and figuratively.
So, great questions and great comments coming up. But the one thing I did want to say is for now, for sure, we now know, at least I do, that the people that went to Storybrooke possibly came at different times. If in fact, Hansel and Gretel were transported to way back in the day Storybrooke,
mm-hmm.
I say that other people went at different points. So,
yeah, I don't know. I go back and forth on that. I agree with you, but then I think, well, but then if they came at different points, who was there to make sure they got to Storybrooke? Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If the evil queen's the one who enacted the curse, wouldn't she have to be the one that whoever's right there in Fairy Tale World at the time she's doing this has to go at that point?
I totally get where you're coming from, but I'm not saying either one's right.
I'll
put my 2 cents on the table. That's probably what it's worth. But I'm saying, I think people win at different times.
Possible.
So
we'll figure that out, I'm sure, as the story progresses.
Right. I do not think there were two blind witches. I think there was one.
Well, okay, but maybe.
Well,
okay. Maybe. Okay. I'm not going to discount a second blind witch. Because you're talking about the one from That Thing You Love Most, where she was mm-hmm. trying to conjure up the bad curse and the gnome got turned into a gnome.
Right.
So that witch, it was funny. That witch that's the blind witch there doesn't look like her. I have to look at a comparison. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know if that was her or not.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe there was a curse involved that made her get old. I don't know. So, but anyway, okay, so we have two theories here. One is there were two blind witches,
mm-hmm.
which I don't necessarily buy, but it is possible. Or there was one. And then how did the witch, but I mean, we're also talking about the Hansel and Gretel story, maybe the second in a succession of stories. So it could be a long period of time. I don't know.
Well, I don't think it was second, though.
Okay. Right.
I think they came after Prince James' story.
Okay. Fair enough.
Not too much after, but again,
When I start thinking about the timeline it makes my head hurt.
Mine too.
so that's one of the reasons why I don't like
to
jump
into it. I know two things. The pilot episode is the last for Fairy Tale World.
Right.
And Rumpelstiltskin's backstory, Desperate Souls, is the first.
Yep.
So everything else comes in between. What the order is, that's a little fuzzy.
True.
Anyway.
True. Okay. So, let's see here. And Obi's girl was saying, well, why couldn't she reach through the mirror and grab the satchel out of the blind witch's house? That's a good point. I don't know. Maybe just accepts fire.
Well, that's the thing. So. Has she ever pulled anything out of the mirror? I've only seen her throw things through it. Now, granted, the sword came through the mirror when she came through it.
That wasn't a mirror, though. That was a smoke.
So there you have it. So. When has she ever pulled anything out of it? I don't know.
Right.
Maybe she, and like you said, maybe she can't pull anything out of it. Maybe she can only throw things through it.
Yep. Yep. And Obi's girl was saying she was just looking at the screen cap of mm-hmm. the Blind Witch from That Thing You Love Most.
Yeah.
And her eyes were sewn shut, which is from... Well, anyway, hold on. What may have happened is she was in the fire for so long that, you know, sadly her eyes were...
I'm betting we're going to find that that's a witch from somewhere else.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm open to it. I'm that's fine. But I'm just saying.
I know that Hansel and Gretel is not the only story with a blind witch or blind whatever, because I want to say that there were three blind witches in a Greek mythology. I'd have to look that up again. But
was it Macbeth or something?
No. Hamlet?
Yeah, Hamlet. There you go.
I think it's Hamlet.
Some toil and trouble? I'm so mad.
Yeah. Anywho.
Anyway.
Bottom line is, I mean, with fairy tales, most of these fairy tales, you're finding that there's multiple things. Stepmother is a very big recurring theme, and witches are a recurring theme, and, you know, swans are a recurring theme.
Yep.
So I think we're going to find that there may be another story with a blind witch in it. Maybe we'll figure out who she is.
And... Obi's girl also mentioned just the pain that the evil queen had when Hansel and Gretel did not want to stay with her. And I totally agree. Totally agree. So Marlene sent us an email as well. And she was wondering about the stranger. I think a lot of people are wondering about the stranger.
He's hot.
So...
Of course we're going to wonder about him. Who is he? He is really...
I'm geeking out about the hardware store that he's in front of. Like, oh my gosh, he's so good looking.
He's crazy.
Look at him. And then I'm thinking about the box on the back. I wonder what's in there. And you keep saying, but he's so good looking. And I'm like, well, all right.
He's very pretty. I'm just going to... Okay. I'm not going to lie. All he's right. a pretty man.
Well, sometimes you could lie maybe. But anyway.
Really? I need to go into Ruby Watch at all?
Oh. Hi, Ruby. If you're listening, Megan, that's great.
And Melini just actually told us three witches are from Macbeth. I couldn't remember if it was Macbeth or Hamlet. I knew it was.
I was right for once.
I know, and you'd think I would know since I love Shakespeare, but for some reason I was thinking Hamlet. Anyway, she's right, Macbeth.
Yep. So the stranger, Marlene is thinking that maybe the stranger was one of the evil queen's guards. And maybe he knows secrets how to break the spell. Or maybe he's trying to stop the spell from... I don't know.
Oh, well, that's a possibility.
So.
And I guess we'll know if we see how Regina acts towards him, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a thought.
Well, hi, Guinevere 8. And her comment just came up. It says, Emma would have recognized him, though. And... it's a possibility if he was Henry's father. That's what they were talking about.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, and Helga actually said, going back to the witches thing, the blind witch thing, she's saying, let's go with Norse myth. She gave up her eyes for a power spell or something, as in Odin all-seeing. Mm-hmm. So, that's the thing. We always go with the typical traditional Disney movie fairy tales, but there are so many others that we're not as familiar with, I don't think, here in the States as maybe other folks around the world are.
Well,
just my thought.
That's why I love the listeners of this show. Mm-hmm. I say it over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's because we don't know everything.
No.
Some people wish we did, but we don't. And that's just the truth.
We're but human
what's
beings.
Not, yeah. With limited knowledge.
Exactly.
I went to school in San Bernardino County. Let me look.
You didn't. You went to school here.
But sometimes I went there.
Oh, well, growing up here.
Anyway, it's kind of a local joke. Sorry. So anyway, but what's great about this show is all the listeners bring in their past and their interest in what they've read. And we have some fantastic people, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Just incredible. So Marlene's also wondering that maybe something in the box has a lot to do with it. I totally agree. So,
there's no coincidence with that box. There's something
in there. Thank you, Marlene, so much for that email. And any other questions or things that you
want to bring up? No. Helga was just reminding me that for the hot stranger, it's okay to flip through the catalog. Just don't purchase anything.
Yes. This is from Angela. And this is... Angela, and she's saying that my mom and I started listening to your podcast, and we love you guys. Thank you. We are hooked on Once Upon a Time, and I just finished the True North episode and had some questions. Mm-hmm. So her question is if Henry gave Emma the pages of the book, wouldn't Emma put the pieces together? And I think that question could be for any of the people, but
sure.
particular Emma.
But if you remember, the pages that he gave her were the last like three or four pages of the book.
Right.
Which she then turned around and I don't know if she flipped through them. I don't know if she looked at them. I don't know if she paid attention to them. I don't remember seeing her do that. But I do recall that she burned them in Archie Hopper's fireplace in his office.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think the interesting thing is that the end of that book was her being transported out of the wardrobe, right? That's at least what we assume is the last part of the book.
Right.
But Henry knows what's coming as far as, like, he knows the curse and that she's the one who's going to break it. Does he know anything else beyond that? I don't know. And is the book finished? Or will we see that there will be some extra pages written in it as time moves on?
Yeah.
Magically appear in the book? You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. I'm open to anything, and it's hard for some to watch the show because they do kind of lock in on the Disney version or the Grimm version or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm trying to kind of be very flexible with it because I don't, you know, I'm kind of going with where the writers are taking me. So yeah, you have a valid point.
Yeah,
Tyler was mentioning that possibly the stranger is the Beast, and maybe in the box, the little suitcase on the back there is a rose.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
That's on the table as well. Thanks so much, Tyler, for that.
He could be Gaston. Don't know what would be in the box, that was another thing that came up. And I don't know that that's necessarily the case, but you never know. I mean, it's just an option. It's a possibility. There was another theory I think we heard, too. I can't remember what it was, but anyway.
And Guinevere was mentioning about archetypes, like Prince Charming and the Evil Queen and all that, those are what make fairy tales great.
Yes.
It's because once you see them, you get it. You know, and the themes in Star Wars or any other story that kind of has a base in a myth is the reluctant hero.
Yes.
We saw that with Emma.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
it's, you have certain elements. There are certain definite elements to fairy tales. Wasn't that a Family Feud question? Not too long ago, what's the most common things you find in horror stories, but I mean, it's a similar thing. What are the most common elements you'd find in a horror story? A fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
Evil queen or wicked stepmother, a heroine, a prince, probably a dragon or some kind of monster.
Yep.
So you got, you know.
Trista just mentioned on the comment here that Gaston is a different actor. So,
is it? Okay. Then then definitely it's not him. That's good to know.
So, but Angela here brings up still one more thing is that the blanket.
Yes.
And let's see.
The blanket.
No, that's pretty, that was it. It was just the book and, how to put things together. We actually have a lot of people in the town, obviously, that Henry's trying to explain who they are.
Right.
But they don't get it. They don't accept it. So.
But is he really telling them? I mean, he kind of hinted around at Archie. He's told Archie who he thinks he is. He's told Emma who he thinks everyone else is. And even, I think, Mary Margaret. And they're all, you know, humoring him because he's a 10-year-old kid. Which, by the way, Henry's very smart. This kind of prompted something the other day. I was thinking about this. He's very, very smart for his age, which is great. But and he's very smart about, he's figured out based on these fairy tales, you know, who Ashley was and who, you know, Mary Margaret is, who Archie is. I mean, who his own evil queen mother is. But what cracked me up was when he asked Emma if she knew who Mr. Gold was. I'm going, okay, dude, seriously, that's like the most obvious one of all of them.
Right.
How is it he can't figure out who he is?
Right, true. And that's been asked, I think, in a couple of different spots.
Really?
Yeah.
So. I just find it very funny that as smart as he is and as much as he's figured everything else out, he didn't grasp onto Rumpelstiltskin like right away.
Well, and I mean, that's one of those great questions or great theories or whatever to put in the forum is who is Henry, the little boy? Mm-hmm. Who is Henry?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Is he anybody, though?
Yeah. See, so anyway, it's just another one.
Right.
See, that's why I love this show, is not only that there's so many great stories going on and so many things happening, but there's so many great questions that don't get answered automatically.
Oh, right.
So Karen sent in another email and said, now that we don't have Sheriff Watch, we need to have Stranger Watch. So,
I know.
So I did create a little thing, and so you are free to watch the Stranger and watch his comings and goings and what he's doing.
Yeah, and by the way, you played the Stranger Watch
I did.
In the last show and scared me half out of my wits.
Well, yeah. Well, okay.
If you guys haven't heard the last show, he played the music or when he started the beginning for the Stranger, and it's the motorcycle noise, and I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah.
And I've got this giant headset on my head to listen to what we're saying, and I literally jumped out of my skin when he played that, and it scared me, and I almost screamed. So anyway,
and then after that, she said that she told me, please don't sing anymore. So that's fine. You know,
you are not exactly the singer of the family.
No, I'm not. I'm not. And if I was to go on American Idol, I would be the funny singer. And that's just the way that would go.
Yeah.
Now, here, okay, Heather sent in this email, and I don't know that we're going to be able to kind of cover it all tonight, but the question has come back again, is the timeline of Snow's pregnancy and marriage versus Cinderella's.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, if you like to take a glance, I think you're kind of better suited, but that's one of those tough ones. That's a tough one. Because I remember there's just little bits and pieces, and we haven't seen it all. And so,
no, I think what she's saying she assumed that Snow and Cinderella got married and then pregnant around the same time, but she can't say definitively who was first. And as far as she knows, there's not really any evidence on the matter either way. But then Snow delivered Emma earlier than expected, so. You know, they didn't seem ready for her to go into labor. In fact, they were planning on sending her into the magic tree, so they would be assuming she would still be pregnant when the curse hit. And then they did seem to be ready and waiting for the curse. So that was a tad confusing at first, because you're right. When they first started talking about, we know the curse is coming, we know it's coming, we don't know when, and they were preparing for it, and that's when they made the decision about the tree being converted to the wardrobe. I recall them, you know, saying, okay, we'll put her in it, that'll be the way to go. And then all of a sudden, she went into labor, and they weren't expecting that. So, I mean, there's that whole thing. And as far as we can tell, she then talks about, there was a throwaway line about them sending word to Rumpelstiltskin that Cinderella wanted to make a new deal via one of Snow's birds. And then we also saw a very heavily pregnant Snow sending out a bird in the pilot episode. Oh, I see where she's going with this. So, essentially, if in fact the bird told Rumpelstiltskin that Cinderella wanted to make a deal, that would, you know, was the bird that very pregnant Snow, you know, sent off of her little hand, the same bird that went to Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh.
So that is a debatable question where we've kind of gone back and forth on that. It would seem that Snow and James either were very newly married when Cinderella got married, or got married right afterwards. I tend to agree that they were married, newly married. It was kind of it's tough to tell, but she didn't look pregnant at the time. Then we saw Cinderella pregnant, but how much time lapsed before she became pregnant?
Right.
And was Snow White already pregnant at that time? Because we didn't see Snow White. We only saw James talking to Cinderella and Thomas and Leroy or Grumpy.
Right.
About how to capture Rumpelstiltskin. So maybe Snow was at home pregnant, you know, on bed rest or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I tend to agree with her. I think that, you know, there's not really definitive answer. But I think that they probably did kind of overlap each other a little bit in their pregnancies. Just my thought.
Yep.
And snow probably delivered early.
So Guinevere 8 just said they were married, I think, when Cinderella got married. So I just wanted to let you know.
Yep. Nope, I agree.
Okay. So we have a couple of more emails and then we will wrap it up. So.
Okay. Really? Already?
Well, okay.
So, so Helga, like you're cutting short here.
Helga mentioned that that possibly Rumpelstiltskin's role in the curse is not in the book, and that's highly probable.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Especially if he wrote the book. So
nice. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, how do we know he's not going to add to the book as it goes?
True.
So, are you asking me to read these?
Well, here? I wanted to give you some.
Okay. All right. You're going to make me read. All right.
Fine. Well, I highlighted some
things. Kidding. I'm okay. Kidding, honey. Totally kidding.
And I was going to joke and things tonight.
Were you? I'm waiting.
Okay. Wow. Tough crowd, even in the room here. Wow.
I saw an opportunity. I had to
take
it.
Wow. Okay.
And that's the second time today that's happened. My mom said something and...
Okay.
Anyway, I won't get into it.
You're the iTunes reviewer. You. Oh, I see. I see how this is going.
No.
Right.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was fun.
Sorry, folks.
I'm on a roll today. I'm on fire today. I'm telling
you. Wow.
Anyway. Sorry.
Help me.
You don't need help. I do.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. This is from Lori, and she has a few random thoughts and questions. So... let's see. We saw the blind witch as a middle-aged woman in the last episode, and I'm guessing that she's referring to... oh, no. She's talking about True North. So at the end of the episode, she's burnt in the oven, and we assume she's dead. In the episode where the Wicked Queen tries to cast the curse, which is that thing you love most, the blind witch, who we assume to be the same witch, is an old woman. So that's just... I think that's just kind of her thought process, and we kind of addressed that just a minute ago. Let's see. No one is ever to come to or leave Storybrooke. However, we know Henry's born outside Storybrooke and was able to come to town as a baby. He had a tie to the town through his grandmother, Snow White, Mary Margaret. We also know that Emma was able to come to town when Henry brought her, but she has a tie to the town through Snow, Mary Margaret, and Henry. So when the mysterious biker came to town, should we assume he also has a tie to a town? Or tie to the town? Is it possible that he is Rumpel's lost son? That's the other theory I forgot. That's the one I'm like, I'm hoping that he turns out to be his lost son. That'd be pretty awesome. The preview for the next episode, she says, shows Regina asking about the stranger being in town and seems to be just as curious who it is. For a woman who always knows what's going on in her town, she seems to be as clueless as the rest of us. And that is so true. She has so little power, even though she loves to pretend she actually has more.
And that is exactly true. She needs all these people to get things done because she doesn't know it all. So, yep.
Yep. Her next thought was that when the clock started to tick, the curse... we know that when that happened, that's when the curse was starting to break. So she thought, she thinks that when Mary Margaret saw Emma's blanket and picked it up and smelled it, deep down she felt something, even if she doesn't realize what that something is. And she says, I think people are going to start having past memories resurface, and then Emma's going to be the one to be involved with stirring those memories. We already saw that with Sheriff Graham when he kissed Emma.
Now, interesting that you should bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
Because when she smelled and touched the blanket...
yep.
I expected flashbacky things to happen. They did not. So I'm thinking that only a kiss or a touch to a certain...
I'm thinking kisses, maybe.
Well, but when
Graham think about it. Remember because,
touched the wolf...
Oh, true, true, true. Okay, yeah, you're right. You didn't kiss the wolf.
No. Okay. All right, then. We ain't going there.
That's a show of a different color.
Right, no.
Sorry.
So anyway, but what I think is it may... I think with someone as important as Snow White...
it's physical contact with another living being.
I think based on the story, because Snow is so central to this entire part, her and Mary Margaret and David are so intrinsic to this that it's going to take a long time and it's not going to be as easy, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
to have them see their fairy tale life and put it together. Unfortunately, we saw Graham did mm-hmm. because he was on his way out at that point. Mm-hmm. And so, but at least we know how it happens. And so now we're going to kind of see the different steps.
Well, and here's the thing. If it's a touch, has Mary Margaret ever touched Emma?
No.
I don't think I've ever seen her touch her.
No, that's a good point. Mm.
So if she ever were to touch her, even a little bit, would she start to remember something? And there's no question in my mind that Mary Margaret did feel something stirring down deep inside of her or wasn't sure
what it was. Right, right. No, she shook something off.
Right.
And, you know, she's never hugged Emma.
No.
And so what's interesting is this whole, you know, mother-daughter kind of bonding thing. And, you know.
Yes. Yes. Let's see. The next thing we have... she says, in the first few episodes, Rumpel is portrayed as an evil man who tried to take children and made deals that were less than reputable. And then we see his backstory and can't help but feel sympathetic towards him. Oh, so very true. I got a little bit of a thing for Rumpel, by the way, in case you don't know. Just a little bit.
I'm feeling it over here. Okay.
And when Emma runs for sheriff, he helps her to get elected, even if he's a little underhanded in the way he does it. Then in this episode, he helps Emma find the children's father. We don't see what he stands to gain from this, although I'm pretty sure he does not do anything without an ulterior motive. That's for darn sure. So I think that whatever the past between Rumpel and the Queen was, he will do anything to be on the opposite side as her. I truly feel he knows exactly who he is and who everyone else in town is and was in Fairytale Land. I think we can look for more episodes where Gold helps Emma to either outright defy Regina or start by steering Emma in a direction to defy Regina's plans. She still loves our podcast. Well, we're glad that you do. Thank you very much. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. He would do anything to defeat Regina, I think.
Yeah. And the thing is to this point now, I don't think it's all about him getting something in return. Mm-mm. What he wants in return is to defeat the dark curse. Mm-hmm. And if he can and kind of be free from the melee of it, I think he will have everything he ever wanted.
Oh, absolutely. So. Well, and it comes back to what we've kind of always said, you know, which is, and I know people hate this, but sorry. In Lost, it was all about redemption. And
right.
I think that for him to be able to help break the bad curse is his redemption.
Well,
I really do.
I'm gonna throw one more Lost little thing in there, and then we'll move on.
Okay.
Is when we saw that long shot of when they panned out from the two kids kind of mm-hmm. walking mm-hmm. to that long shot, that reminded me so much of the shot of the other's camp.
Oh, yeah.
So that we saw that mm-hmm. other side of things.
Right,
so,
right.
Anyway.
And
that's
who knows?
That.
Now, I just happened to notice on Twitter that Helga's asking, there's no voicemails. No, this is actually our Feedback and More show, which is typically just the emails.
Mm-hmm.
And then during our Thursday night, when we record on Thursday nights, that's where we do the voicemails.
Yep.
So those are coming this week, and those will be fun. I don't know if we have a whole lot right now, but I think we probably will get a few more.
Yep.
We usually do. Mm-hmm. So. Let's see. Oh, did you want to grab that?
Well,
go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
People are going to say, I don't like the guy's voice. I want the lady's voice.
No, you have a better reading voice than I do, or audio voice than I do.
All right.
Recorded voice.
So Chris sent an email,
mm-hmm.
and he was mentioning that the old killing the dark one to take the power isn't necessarily a Lost reference. It's also from Star Wars and then on and on. And I think we mentioned that. And that Mr. Gold and Regina are like Jacob and the Man in Black. And I think I mentioned that as well.
Yeah, so we did kind of mention that.
Thanks, Chris. And you're absolutely right on the money. So.
We agree.
Yes. Now, I want to talk about this. Now, Obi's girl, got big love for you. But I'm telling you, I saw the clip that you sent about the Hansel and Gretel thing from Pan's Labyrinth, and it scared me. It scared me.
Did it really?
Now, look, I'm a...
When did you watch this?
Oh, when you were out gallivanting around with your mom and your sister for some super secret party thing.
For my dad's surprise birthday party?
Well, now it's not a surprise anymore.
Well, he doesn't listen to this show.
He might.
He doesn't.
Okay. So anyway, the scene of the blind witch's house with all the sweets and mm-hmm. when Hansel ate something, it woke up the blind witch. It was very similar to a scene in Pan's Labyrinth, but it's a creepy looking thing, and it.
I heard Pan's Labyrinth was pretty intense.
No, it was very, very interesting, but it was kind of like Tim Burton, way creepier. I mean, it was wild.
Tim Burton is out there, but he's more of a quirky, fun. Hey, you probably were smoking a little something.
This is quirky, but it's, yeah. So, but anyways, very interesting, very stylized. And, it was very, very similar because when this little girl, Ophelia, I believe is her name, mm-hmm. went into this room, this being, I can't, the type is kind of small. And anyway, there's this being at the table, this monster thing.
Creepy thing.
Yes. And everything was fine until she ate two of the grapes and then it woke up. And so it was very, very similar to what we saw.
Oh, okay.
And also the, Tyler mentioned that Guillermo del Toro is doing the new Haunted Mansion remake, and that's true.
Is he the one who did Pan's Labyrinth too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I thought it was a Spanish or Mexican. I can't remember where he was from, Mexico or Spain or whatever. But I knew it was somebody who was not. I'm telling you, if you've never seen movies that are typically directed by other director, foreign directors,
right.
Some of them are. You kind of go. Wow, I'm kind of scared of you, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, I really respect what he does. He's very, very, very stylized.
Very vivid. So, and very, yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm very interested to see what he does with Haunted Mansion, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because the first one, I don't even really would rather not talk about that one.
I liked the storyline, but yeah, I don't know how Eddie Murphy
it. Was funny. I just wish it was.
No, I like the storyline. I don't know how Eddie
this
Murphy
this is a happy show, and yeah. I'm not going to. Okay, anyway. Happy, happy. So. Anyway, also there's a couple of other tie-ins, Pan's Labyrinth 2, the Hansel and Gretel and the Once Upon a Time storyline is there's the real world and then there's the fantasy world.
Yes.
Of the labyrinth.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Ophelia, the main character, goes on quests. And that's another thing I don't think we've ever really talked about
mm-hmm.
is some of the major stories like the Labor of Hercules and different types of things.
12 Labors of Hercules?
That one.
Yeah.
That one's good too.
Yeah.
There's more of them.
There's 12 of them.
So, but there are these tasks
mm-hmm.
that the hero has to do.
Right.
Or collect to mm-hmm. do something. And I don't think we've seen a lot of it. Even though we did bring up in the last show that each of these characters have some type of something.
Mm-hmm.
They have some type of something that is the blanket or whatever. And so we forget, I think, that Emma is actually kind of completing tasks. Now we see them as a savior, as bringing people together and finding this and helping and, you know, defeating and standing up and all that. But she's actually completing tasks.
Well, it's
so
like
something kind of to think
about. She's basically, I think her big task is putting together a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And right. she has to figure out what the pieces are to start with and then where they go.
Yep.
That's just how I see it.
And she also brings up, too, that if, and I actually tend to agree with her, and I didn't think about it till I read the email here, mm-hmm. is that King Midas and King George have died in fairy tale land.
Have they?
Well, I haven't seen them, and that's not to say that they're not there.
I wouldn't be surprised. But remember, in the preview, this is not a spoiler.
Right.
But in the preview that I've seen for next, or the tomorrow night show, yay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Snow White is talking to King George, and he says, "You're going to tell him you don't love him."
Right.
And she says, "Or you're going to kill me." And then he goes, no, I'm going to kill him. So my wondering is, are we going to see the death of King George?
I think we will. Because then that opens up, and this is what she pointed out, Obi's girl in her email. If the two kings are dead, then Charming can marry whoever he wants to.
Even if one of them's dead.
And possibly that occurs right before he's riding to go see Snow White.
Oh, maybe.
And
oh, yeah.
Maybe somebody's catching him and saying, it's too late, though. And he goes, it's never too late. You know, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, love will always find, love will bring us together, or something like that. So,
no, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, thank you.
It's exciting.
And she says, sorry, I scared you. That's okay. But yeah, I was like,
I appreciate that you got a good scare since I got one when we recorded the last show.
Oh, all right. Okay, so Lori sent us an email, and she brings up a really a valid point, is that if Storybrooke is in Maine, then why were the children taken to Massachusetts? Because that was one of the things Emma was shocked to. What do you mean, Massachusetts? What
my
about
Boston,
Maine?
Yeah.
Yeah, what
well,
the
didn't
heck?
She say, oh, and then the whole thing, didn't Regina say?
Well, she said they're all full up.
Yeah, they're all full up.
Full up?
Well, hi, Maine's not, well, I don't know.
So anyway.
There had to be a reason to take them back to Boston. There's got to be something significant about Boston.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where Emma was from anyway. Ooh, thought right, just popped right. in my head.
Okay.
What if she knows that's the last place Emma lived, right? That's where Emma's apartment is, right? So if that's the case, maybe if she says, maybe she knows that if she takes them out, she can't come back.
Hmm.
And she wanted her to go back home to Boston.
Hmm. That's a great point.
That just came to me.
Wow, you're beautiful and smart. Look at that. Wowee. No, that's a great point.
Because, I mean, you're right. That is ridiculous. When she said that, I was going, wait, why does she need to take him to Boston? That doesn't make any sense to take him to Boston.
If that was true, then she should open up some kind of portal to get her out. Because,
well, and that's the thing. Maybe that was the whole point she was trying to, and maybe Rumpel stopped her.
Right. The thing is, the next point that Laurie's making in this email is the old something bad will happen, and we keep hearing about it, and you know maybe it's something that Henry just read in the book. That's all he knows. He's never really experienced it. I don't know, but. You know, the something bad. So, and, you know, the point she was making here is if Emma did leave, really forcibly walked over the edge of
Storybrooke
city, is she may have lost a baby, something like that. I don't know. But, and, you know, maybe she would not never have been united with her baby, obviously.
Yeah.
And that would have been just awful. Mm-hmm. And also Hansel and Gretel going over the city line, they would have never been reunited with her, their father either.
Right. They wouldn't
and that
have
would have been. And so, you know, maybe I'm kind of going off on a thing here, but maybe Gold is behind this whole thing and keeping people in there so they all get together.
Mm-hmm.
Because when everybody connects and gets together, families, babies and mothers and all that, that's when the curse will be broken. So maybe.
Well, and here's the other thing too, is what if, so what's on the other side of Storybrooke?
Well, and that's a valid point.
Do you know what I'm saying? What's the next town over?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever talks about the next town over. So what's the next town over? They know about the major cities because obviously they have globes and they, you know, research the world and stuff. But what's fascinating is that they never talk about the town next door.
Right. No, no, that's absolutely true. What's interesting too is how do they get information from out of town?
Henry has a computer. So
okay,
they have internet. Right. They have internet
fair
somehow.
Enough. Fair enough.
But again, how limited is it? Do we know? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's so many all questions right. to this that, and that's what I mean. That's one of the things I love the most about the show. is the questions and the theories and the, oh, let's take it here. It forces us to use our imagination, and I really appreciate that.
We got a real cool email one time, and it was someone said, I wish you could do a podcast for all my favorite shows. And that touched me. I mean, it was very humbling to hear. But the show that I think that we can do has to be a show like a Lost or like a Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
It has multiple stories, multiple layers, all these themes that could be taken a certain way, and just this kind of discussion. A police drama, a Grey's Anatomy isn't as deep as this to me. So that's why I love this type of a show for this.
Yeah, because there's very little imagination. You kind of have to like wrap your head around reality. With this, you can go completely into left field, and I think that people like to be creative and like to think things through.
And the people are pulling people into fairy tales that they probably haven't read for years.
Exactly.
So I mean, that's why I love this show. So
we had a couple of tweets, by the way. One of them was from Melanie, and she was saying that as Emma was driving away, Regina had that look with a triumphant smile. Yes, because I think that kind of coincides with, I think she's agreeing with me, or at least coinciding with what I was talking about earlier about how Regina may very well have lied about the entire state of Maine doesn't have any room in the foster system. So you got to take them to Boston, which just happens to be where Emma's from. Anyway. I do remember seeing that. She was very, very triumphant about that. You're right. Second thing was that Helga then said she still thinks Regina drugged Emma on night one before the sign crash. Glass got a few seconds of airtime. It didn't even dawn on me that that's exactly what happened. Because she poured the drink. Emma drove, and that's when she crashed. And then she basically woke up in jail. So how do we know that? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Surprised at all.
And that's what we kind of talked about a couple of times. I'll say it one more time. Is never, ever assume, even though you see certain things, you see one and you see the other, that it finishes that arc. Because you don't know what happened in between.
Yeah.
And so there's always very interesting things that happen after, let's say, the camera stops, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the things that you don't see, that's really the most interesting. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there was a question that came up about the car. Why would the car stall? You know, it's either the car stalled for real or Emma faked it.
Right.
So that she could get the father over
Michael
to come and see the children.
Yeah.
And, or she knew that the high probability that it would stop.
Mm-hmm.
And she just kind of went with it anyway, because she knew that that's.
Yeah. So anyway. My original thought was, I thought, and I missed it the second time we watched it. I don't know how I did, but I could have sworn I heard something to the effect that she said, yeah, it runs fine now, when he showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'd asked, is that them? And she's like, yeah. And the car, and he goes, and that's what I thought. I thought I heard it, but I missed it the second time. I wasn't paying attention. I was paying more attention to him and the kids. And I was really kind of impressed with the little girl that played Gretel. She was really good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A comment coming in from Man H. Well, I don't know
that's
how
Manny.
Manny?
I think that's Manny's Twitter handle.
Oh, Manny, my man, dude, if that's you, that's really cool. Okay, he's asking, why wouldn't you just pull the car over and make the call? Because I think she had to make the kids buy it.
Oh, yeah.
And because, I mean, she knew the kids are just a bunch of liars. And so if she faked it, I'm figuring that they could just see right through the
oh,
thing.
Yeah.
So
that's Manny.
That's what
brother.
I think.
That's definitely Manny.
Oh, Manny's my man, dude. Yeah, he makes the blog post more fun. I tell you, it's just the funniest thing, because I'll be serious and, you know, hone in on some kind of fact, and then Manny will come in and say, well, you know, what about this and what about that? And then I was joking about the lady that was sweeping on the sidewalk, and that was funny. So anyway, that's that. We have one more email to go.
We do? Okay.
And We're talking about Cinderella's. I'll have you read this. Well, Manny, I mean, the kids, well, they had to be in on it. I don't know. That's just what I think.
Okay.
They had to be convinced, I think. That's my opinion.
I think so. Well, because, I mean, she was the one who, when they thought they fooled her, mm-hmm. she ended up inside the house.
Right.
So I thought it was interesting. And, yeah, I wouldn't put it past her to fake it out just to get them to buy into it. Plus, we just saw her lie her butt off to Henry about his dad. So, anyway.
Yep.
Okay. This is an Obie's Girl mail. And this one is about Cinderella's baby and other timeline stuff. Hopefully she'll clear it up for us. Okay. So she's thinking more about Cinderella's baby, and she thinks she may have an answer about why she was still pregnant in Storybrooke. Because she says when the curse happened, it was around 7 to 8 months in Cinderella's pregnancy. Because remember, she was married before Snow, as far as we know in the story. And that's, again, right around the same time, maybe before, maybe a little after. We haven't gotten any definitive answer, but I'll go with it. So when Snow White became pregnant later with Emma, 9 months for her, which brings her to the conclusion that whatever physical state the fairy tale characters were in, Ella, 7 to 8 months pregnant prior to the... blah, blah, blah. Sorry.
Hang in there.
Just washed my tongue.
Hang in there.
Thing with it. Ella, who was pregnant at 7 to 8 months prior to the curse, or Prince Charming wounded just before the curse hit, that's how they will remain in the real world until the curse is broken. Still, I cannot imagine how a female human body can endure being pregnant for 28 years. That would certainly break some Guinness World Records.
That's what Manny said too. Really? Pregnant for 28 years? Well, she's probably pretty grumpy. So
okay, yeah. And here's where I'm going to go with this. The only thing that I can say to where I would kind of sort of agree, and only because it's a wackadoodle thought, but it is, I can see where it's possible. Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, reliving right. the same day mm-hmm. over and over and over. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's just
possible.
A thought.
Possible.
Just my thought. So she says this is how she imagined Storybrooke was like before Emma came along. So then the I'm having trouble.
Do you want me to read that?
No, I'm okay. I just need to rewind.
Okay.
The fairy tale characters arrive there and everyone becomes acquainted with the town or whatever. So Regina gets there and it's exactly like what Maleficent predicted. That being in this world doesn't bring the evil queen happiness. But Regina is so damn determined to be happy that she goes to Mr. Gold to start going about finding a little boy for her to adopt. We don't know how long the process takes or how Mr. Gold is able to achieve this without leaving Storybrooke, but somehow he makes it happen. Mind you, however long the adoption process takes, in the real world it's 18 years because that is how old Emma was when she was pregnant with Henry. So if it took Mr. Gold 18 years to find someone for Regina to adopt, that could be why she isn't in the business of making deals with him anymore. And we know from episode 2 that Mr. Gold brought Henry to Storybrooke when he was 2 weeks old. But outside Storybrooke, time is moving forward. So if Storybrooke existed before the Evil Queen enacted the curse, how come they had no tourists? Or was it a ghost town or simply abandoned? But wouldn't it be funny if the curse was a living curse of sorts and knew exactly where to deposit all the fairy tale characters in the real world?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of a question we've kind of had is, okay, so... Yeah. How did Mr. Gold get Henry? Can he leave? And we kind of hinted about this where I think we're going to find that Henry thinks that if they leave, something bad will happen. And he's right. But what about Mr. Gold? Because he doesn't know who he is, right?
Right.
So maybe he doesn't realize that maybe Mr. Gold is the one character outside of everywhere else that can. Because again, remember we talked about the fact that he was somewhat sort of protected in that prison. It was special prison that would hold him in.
Mm-hmm.
It had some sort of magical power to keep him in so he couldn't use his powers that he had. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, then he's kind of immune to right. the limitations of the curse.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I think.
And you know, the thing I was thinking of when you're reading that, I was thinking back to what she said, you know, someplace horrible. And I mean, first of all, that's a slight to Maine, and I feel kind of bad for Maine, you know? And second of all, it's not really a bad town.
No,
I mean,
actually,
honestly, if it was going to be horrible, like maybe a cave where the the dragon lives. I mean, that's horrible.
But you know what? You know what she reminds me of? She reminds me of a kid on the playground who's like, you need to let me be the leader or else I'm going to take my ball and go home. And then when the other kids go, yeah, whatever, we don't care. Yeah, well, my dad can beat up your dad.
Right,
I mean,
right.
And then her dad's not even around. So, I mean, she's kind of one of those, she's very braggadocious, but she has nothing to stand on and she's more bravado than anything else.
Yep.
That's just my thinking.
I agree. I think it's really a nice town. I mean, it's really, really nice. And it has a clock tower and I don't know. So
I wouldn't mind living there.
No. So
especially if I can see perfectly hot strangers driving up on motorcycles every other.
Okay.
Just kidding. Sorry.
Do you need a moment? I have some water or something.
No, I'm perfectly fine.
All right.
Let's just say this is my Ruby watch.
Okay. Ruby.
See?
We're going to be seeing.
How many times did you mention Ruby in like every other podcast? And did I mention anybody? No.
No, that was one of our first negative emails was about it? Ruby. The person said, if you have any more Ruby watches, I don't think I'll be able to listen to you anymore. And so I said, well, we'll cut it down.
Really?
Yeah. I'm telling you.
I don't know.
It's a comment out of the blog. Go look it up.
Okay, that's funny.
It's out there.
Okay, I'm sorry. But you know what? I think it's hilarious. And by the way, who doesn't think she's very pretty?
Well, and this person said.
I think she's pretty. Yeah,
this person said that Ruby's storyline is the most annoying one of all. And I'm thinking, the show tomorrow, I think, is really going to change a lot of people's minds. Because look, I got love for Ruby. But I'm telling you, tomorrow, I'm really looking forward to seeing the other side of the fairy tale side. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I think it's really going to be cool.
Rumpelstiltskin's going to be in it, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Then it's going to be a great episode.
So this has been a ton of fun. It actually went a lot better than I thought it would.
Me too.
And I really, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank everyone that showed up to listen. I think we have about 20 people around there listening in the little Mixler window. So I want to thank you so much for joining us and interacting. And I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody's questions, but we tried our best. And thanks for the emails. And the one thing I'm really going to ask that you guys do, all of us, is it really show your love to the cast members that maybe we haven't seen a lot of. You know, I'm a big Team 7 fan.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, the dwarves are just coolest people ever.
They are.
You know, and I know everybody's got love for Jenny and Jennifer and Lana. And I get that.
And Josh.
But show your love to, you know, Cinderella, you know?
Jesse. Her name is Jesse in real life.
Right. So just remember that.
And Megan, who is Ruby.
Right. Jeffrey Kaiser, you know, and that kind of a thing. Show your love because, you know, this is really a neat thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the dwarfs, because we haven't seen a lot of them up to this point. And now they're starting to kind of pop up here and there. And
we got another one on Twitter, which we're so excited about.
Yeah.
That's awesome. He's been really active lately, and that's great.
Yep, Gabe. Gabe Kuth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that Ernst Hoth, H-A-T-H, I don't believe that Ernst is on Twitter as yet.
Oh, okay.
But here's the thing. I know that we all really care for the stars that have a lot of face time on the show. But just remember, you know,
the extra characters in the background.
The characters that you might not see that often.
Right, supporting characters.
You know, show your love and all this kind of stuff. It's really important because this cast is great and this show is great. And you guys are great. And thank you so much for spending some of your evening with us. And we'll probably do this again, but you're going to be gone next week.
I am going to be gone next week, you guys.
I don't know if I can pull this off myself. I think you can.
Well, first thoughts, why wouldn't you?
Well, no. This show, when are you leaving?
Okay, so we're leaving Sunday morning. I'll just share. I think we can maybe take a few minutes and kind of share a little personal stuff about ourselves just so people know.
Okay.
So before we get into that, okay, so we've been married now 13 years,
mm-hmm.
almost 14.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Is that right?
You're asking me?
I know. Isn't that scary?
Oh, boy.
Literally, my brain just went crazy. We got married on 9/11, but 1999.
Yeah,
so
it's not a joke.
Do the math
it's
there.
It's the actual
it's
truth.
It's the actual truth. September 11th, 1999. Anyway, we are married, and as I said, and we have no children.
Nope.
We have...
I act up a lot, though.
You do. We have four nephews and a niece, mm-hmm. and we live in Orange County, California. And let's see, we work a lot and we love our OUET show. We love our fans. We love the listeners. We love the cast, the crew. We like a lot of other shows as well. Anyway, I won't be here next Sunday night because my niece is in cheerleading. She's 13 and she's in cheerleading and her cheerleading squad happened to win the division here. So they're going to, I guess, regionals or maybe it's the other way around. Anyway, it's the big deal. It's the end all. This is where they become champions for the year or whatever. And it's in Las Vegas. So I'm going to be in Vegas next Sunday and Monday.
She's going to Vegas, people.
I'm going to Vegas.
Right. For a cheerleading thing for my niece. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So remember, digital is forever. Don't get crazy.
Hey, what happens in Vegas stays in
Vegas.
All
right, then. Okay.
My mom, my sister, and I are taking her there. And we've kind of started this tradition right around her birthday, which is February 5th, that we tend to do girls' weekend, kind of a fun thing. And so since we're not going to go to San Francisco again this year like we did last year, we're going to go to Vegas instead, and that'll be our fun time.
Yep.
So I won't be here next Sunday night, and... So you'll have to do first thoughts by yourself.
Well, okay, but you're going to be here Saturday night?
Yeah, I'll be here Saturday
night. Okay, so you'll do this next week.
Yeah, we could do it.
I like to keep it up until people either get tired of us or we get a cold or something.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of fun. And
I got some feedback that a couple of people have said this has been fantastic and they really, really love it. So.
Okay.
Yes, we are recording this podcast, so it will show up on iTunes at some point in time, so you guys can go back and listen to it if you want, or you can send it to your friends and let them listen. But, I think you're going to end up doing first thoughts by yourself unless you choose not to do first thoughts. But
that's fine. I'll just be kind of tired, and I'll just talk to myself. That's okay.
Yeah. And I won't get to see Once Upon a Time Sunday until Tuesday night.
Wow. Okay.
I know. I'm going to have to, like, avoid Twitter
you better
the plague.
Throw iPhone away.
I'm going to avoid Twitter like the plague because Anywho.
So let's bring this plane in for a landing.
Okay.
Okay. So when we started, okay, a little about me, mm-hmm. just a little bit. I've podcasted for about 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've done just about everything you could possibly do. If anyone's heard of something called TalkShoe, it was basically a cell phone kind of a connection point that you could do basically podcasting with your phone.
Mm-hmm.
I've done all kinds of different shows. Barely anybody listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried all these different things. So the interviews and the live show here and all these, I've tried it before, but I never really went forward with it. And, you know, the greatest thing of it is the folks that are listening and enjoying it. Now I get to pull out all my tricks out of the magic bag and try it for real.
Yeah.
And it's just really, really cool. So I think, yes, Manny. We will have call-ins, but I wanted to make sure that this would work. like I said, I have had situations where I've been talking for 10 minutes and nobody can hear anything.
Yes, that's
so
true.
But yeah, you know, and that's what I want to say is the sky's the limit. Anything can happen. And I really want to take this show as far as it can go. I think some people felt like, well, it's just another podcast of two people talking. Mm-hmm. And then we did the interviews. And then we connected with Steveston. And then we got a cool gentleman named Ken to help us out with the map. So I hope you see what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Is I have a lot of plans. I have a lot of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go some places. And I'm so glad that it's with you guys. You know, we do have the greatest listeners in the world, and we're doing a show about the greatest television show in the world. So I'm the luckiest person walking. So,
do you think we're in a position right now where we want to bring up the thought process or the idea we had for this summer?
Okay.
I'm just saying we can throw it out there.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we had an idea, considering that it's kind of a destination anyway. We are very fortunate that we live where we do. We live in a fantastic, wonderful place. We've been to some wonderful places, but we are very fortunate that we live where we do. It is a very big tourist destination for a lot of people. You know, we're 30 minutes from Los Angeles if it's no traffic, which is hardly ever. We're 20 minutes from the beach. We're 2 hours from a mountain. We're 2 hours from a desert. We're 2 hours from San Diego. And we are 10 minutes from Disneyland. So we have a lot of really cool things down here to see and do. And I know a couple people have mentioned that they want to come down to Disneyland. And if so, you know, could we maybe meet up? Are you kidding me? We would love to do that. So then I had an idea based on some, there's a Disney podcast network that I don't know if they still exist or not. Okay. Anyway, Disney Podcast Network, the DPN, for years has done what they call West Fest. And they pick a weekend in the summer and people come from all over the place and they meet up at Disneyland and spend the weekend hanging out. And they do really fun activities and they have typically have a banquet and stuff. I don't know if we're quite there yet.
No banquet yet. No.
We're not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. But if, in fact, there's enough interest and enough people could manage to make this happen, would people consider having what we'd call our once upon a time meetup at Disneyland? Because we'd be happy to, you know, take everybody around, show you around, say hi, have time to meet, you know, hang out. And it would be a weekend or so something here, like that in the summer. But
right. So here is the thing is... The first year would be this year, obviously.
Right.
And I want to make it real casual. Mm-hmm. It's just us meeting, talking, walking around, you know, because I want to see what it's like.
Right.
You know, and I don't want to schedule a bunch of things and all this, but we'll find a date. And I know, you know, finding a date's difficult because one date's good for one, isn't a good for another. That kind of a thing. So we'll pick a date that, you know, works.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be there and we'll meet whoever shows up.
Yeah.
And we'll have a great time.
If enough people generate some interest, I'll see what I can do as far as finding like reasonable rates on hotels. I might be able to do a group rate if possible, if people need that. My mom's a travel agent, by the way, so that'll help also. Anywho, if there's enough interest, we'll generate. And this year, if we understand, we know that, you know, we're talking like in the next 6 months, roughly 6-7 months, right? I know that's kind of short notice for people to start saving up. But the fact is that if it's at all possible, we would love to do it. And if we can't have everybody come all at once, you know, if you happen to find yourselves down here, let us know. We would love to say hi.
We'll do our best to meet up with you.
Yeah.
And at least say hey and, you know, spend a little time doing whatever. But
right.
It would be cool to kind of have a pick time day to kind of do the first you know, Once Upon a Time fan podcast, kind of a meetup, tweet up, whatever it is at Disneyland. So that would be really cool.
Right. So, and pretty much, you know, we can find a day that would work for, you know, as many people as possible, if at all possible. And then we'll just kind of go from there. But I would like to say that if you can't make it out this year, don't worry, because I'm pretty sure we're going to do it again next year. And next year we'll probably have a little bit bigger of a plan. We'll have a more organized, you know, schedule of events.
So
we'll make it a really fun thing. But I kind of wanted to throw it out there, being that it's kind of last minute and we didn't know how well this is going to be received.
Right.
But we would love to have people say, yeah, we totally want to do it. And if we get enough people, let us know when you think you might be able to come out. We'll kind of say, because Let's be honest. Well, we can go to Disneyland anytime.
Right, right. But
so yeah. It's not on our schedule. It's really about everyone else's schedule.
Okay.
If we can pick a day, but we want to kind of say, here's the official time frame. If you can make it, please come see us.
Okay. So the questions are coming in. Let's extend an invite to the cast. Let me assure you with almost certain assurement that they know we're here.
Yes.
More than likely, somebody from ABC is listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Probably right now, maybe. Cast members are probably listening. So once we kind of start talking about it, they will be fully aware.
Yeah.
So we don't have to extend any type of invite because, you know, we have iPhones and they know how to get a hold of us. And all it will really take is, hey, I'm in the area. And, you know, we'll kind of keep
you know
the
what
secret
I think?
Or whatever. But
no, you know what I think? Enough of these cast members and what have you. If they start seeing you guys talking about, hey, gearing up, we got 1 month left until we're going to do da da da. Pretty sure that if they can make it down and they really want to do it, they will make an effort to do so.
Yep.
So that's, I think, yeah.
That's the beauty of Twitter is we're all following each mm-hmm. other. They are aware. And
oh, yeah.
So we don't have to extend anything because I think they'd be happy to do it if it's within their power and reach and they can do it.
So
let's work on a date. You know, let's kind of put it together. And I know it's tough when you have, you know, different people
a
with different
large
kinds
group
of schedules.
Of people, yeah.
So, but also rest assured, we will be recording live at the park. I've got a recorder
mm-hmm.
and I got to kind of make sure I can still transfer all the audio down, but we'll do some live remote stuff and, it's going to be a fun deal.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's try and put this together. Like I said, I want to kind of go real casual,
mm-hmm.
not really highly planned so that we can kind of see what it's like. Because I think every time you get a group together, it's different. So the
sure
DPN
is.
Group is different than, you know.
The sure it is. That, and yeah, and so. I don't expect that we'll do a true West Fest like they do.
Right.
I think we'll make our own thing. But like I said, you know, I was thinking, you know, mid to late summer, you know, July, August, September, somewhere around there, gives everybody plenty of time to kind of maybe save up for whatever.
Yeah.
And then that way we can kind of organize something, you know, informal.
Well, I'm telling you, September
mm-hmm.
is when they do the new shows.
Mm-hmm.
If Once Upon a Time is there at DCA,
mm-hmm.
I will be applying for one, if not two, press media passes.
Oh, yeah.
For this podcast
mm-hmm.
to interview the people there for
yeah.
Once Upon a Time.
That
so
would be pretty
guarantee
phenomenal.
You that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we have big plans and we really appreciate all your support, your love. We feel it. We really, really thank you for it. If you haven't reviewed in iTunes, please go ahead and do it. Don't read some of the other reviews that are there. Just go there and just give your review and give your 5 stars, you know, and rate it and all this. So,
and then say how helpful other people's reviews
yeah,
were or
yeah,
not helpful.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, thanks so much, everyone,
mm-hmm.
for showing up tonight. This has been just a bang up fun.
And by the really. Way, we were asked to do this again.
Hi there. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
Okay. We will.
I think we could probably accommodate that request.
We will do it again if everybody brings more people. Because
oh,
more
no.
people is more fun.
It is more fun. But you know what? Let's not put conditions on it.
Okay.
We'll do it no matter what. Even if one person shows up, I think it'd still be fun to do.
Okay.
But I think we're going to get more than one person.
All right. Big love to everybody tonight.
Absolutely.
Really, really, really. Just big love out to you. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting us.
Mm-hmm.
Your kindness is really, really, really important. And tomorrow night.
Yes.
Man, we're going to watch it.
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah. we're going to give you first thoughts tomorrow night. You're going to get our first thoughts first, right after the show.
Yep.
That's craziness. So.
Yes.
Anyway, you guys take care. Have a good evening, whatever time it is, and be safe. And we'll be talking at you soon.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.